we've been studying these ideas of the specifics of God. And the specifics of God we've looked at from the standpoint of what makes us to be the people that the Lord would be pleased with, the people that the Lord wants to serve Him in a loyal and faithful way. And in the process of this, we've looked at the specifics in regard to things like the Lord's Supper has only the two food elements of the unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord, through Paul, was disturbed that they were adding other foods to their Lord's Supper, calling it all the Lord's Supper when he said it's not actually the Lord's Supper at all. They were to be specific in what they were doing, calling it the bread and the fruit of the vine, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so all of that was a part of God's great, great plan. If we do not have a distinct message to teach, if we do not have and authorize a distinct teaching of the Lord, we really do, as Church of Christ, have no right to exist. We're contributing to only the religious division. We're scattering further the religious division, far and wide, and that's enough that Jesus prayed that we all might be one. And so when we go back and say, let's be one with the Lord, let's follow His specific teachings of worship, then we're doing the right thing. When we follow His specific teachings of the Word of the Lord is the Word. It's the Word that He said will judge us in the last day in John 12 and 48. We've been studying that because that specific doctrine, teaching the Lord for salvation, is what we're to practice, and that's the kind of way we do. This morning, we go back to the Old Testament of the Bible in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. What does the Lord require of thee? Love, mercy. That's the summation of all the things of that Old Testament. You know, it would be a perfect time for him to say, let me remind you of the Ten Commandments. Let me remind you of commandment number 615. But the Lord didn't. He summed it all up. He said, here it is. Love, mercy. When we have a love for something, we really embrace it. We are emotionally inclined to it. We are dedicated to it. We're committed to it. When we love an automobile, we shine it, we polish it up, we watch out for the dirt that's on it, we watch out for the oil that's in it. We have a love for that automobile. We love people. We have a desire to visit with them, desire to talk with them, by the way of the phone, or by way of the internet, or by way of going over to see them. We have a love for folks, and that idea of love is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. We have love. We don't have something that's just quick and fly by night. We have something that's really dedicated. You know, I found a lot of families don't ever teach that love. They so rough and rough on one another. They practice that way of you do what I say, do when I say, do. And then on down the line, we have another time of saying we'll enforce it. And that's the old idea of love that people have. Some young people these days are growing up just to have no real deep appreciation for parents at all, or for loved ones, for teachers, or for policemen. For people in authority, people who lead us and help us to be peaceful folks and good folks in the world we live, no love. And as a result of that, it's become more fevery. If something is seen there that no one's around, I'll pick it up, it's mine. It's the idea, instead of looking for the rightful owner of it, I'll take it on my own. That sort of thing, vandalism. If no one's around, I'll key that car. I'll key that way. I'll do this, that, and other to it. I'll be sure that it's scratched on because I want to do it. And that's the way I am. I'm the vandal as I go through my life. If we love mercy, however, there's a different way that we treat people. There's a love that's different because we do love. We have a different emotion about them. We have a different feeling for them. And more than that, we have a different activity with them. We love mercy. And that word mercy, that one word, probably has more of synonyms in the pages of the Bible and among mankind than any other word in the Bible. That word mercy. That word mercy carries with it the concept of grace. It takes with it care, concern, interest. Those are synonyms for the idea of mercy. Benevolence, goodwill, those are also. It has so many applications to it because mercy extends out to people. Instead of driving them to the ground, instead of being roughhousing on them, instead of being mad-spirited toward them, We're merciful toward them. We have a kindness toward their words and their mannerisms. We have a kindness toward their trying to teach us and guide us. We have a kindness toward the way we're trying to teach and guide them. We have mercy in our hands for them. There are many preachers who've gotten into trouble. Some of them don't know, don't realize that they've gotten into trouble. They will come and preach sermons and meetings and what they know and don't realize that without being merciful to them, that the people will sometimes leave saying, that fellow doesn't care at all. He said, all these other preachers that came your way here, he said, they preached a good lesson, all right, but said, it kind of looked like to me that they were glad that I was lost and going to hell. He said, but this preacher, it looked like, sounded like to me, that it broke his heart. That's why I came forward tonight. I didn't want to break his heart. And I thought about God, how I must be breaking his heart. So I came to be baptized tonight. Along with that story of a spark we tell, we don't often realize exactly how people's feelings are out and how they are accepting the things that are said. And so to ask people kindly and mercifully to be saved from sin is a little different than people understanding you're lost, and I'm kind of glad to tell you that you're lost. But I hope you don't ever get that impression from me in this regard, that I'm glad that you are lost and glad that you are that way. That glad to be merciful to the Lord and merciful to his right way is the way we want to think of it. Love, mercy. More than that, do justly, he says. Micah 6 and verse 8 says, do the right thing. That word just or justified is a courtroom word as far back as you can go. Certainly in the time of the Romans, but New Testament time, but even back then in the Old Testament, it was still that. The Persians set up a way of courtroom justice, courtroom decisions. And an idea of justice is a concept that comes from the law. Here is a person who can be justified for his actions. He's justified for the well that he dug there in that ground. He didn't realize that the ground that he dug the well on was somebody else's property. He just didn't realize until it was too late. The water was coming up, the spring was there, the well was dug. And so he's taken to court and to buy this property, buy this land where the well is what he's going to have to do. And the judge and the people there who are working, adjudicating that particular question, if they do justly, they're trying to do something just by. They try that idea of justify his practice. Where did you get this information, they say? Well, he says, I went to this person who was a neighbor, and I went to this other person, and I found this particular spot, and I thought it would be a good place to dig this well. But I was mistaken. I was over on somebody else's property. I surely regret this is the case. Apologetic about it, rather than, I'm glad I did it, I did the work, and it's mine, it's going to stay mine. I've got my gun out here, and I'm going to defend it. The idea of being just, he wanted to do what's right. They wanted to do what's right. And in that instance, it may be that he owes some money for that particular spot that he built the well on. It may be that, but once he's paid his debt, once he's done that, and he's paid it out in time, maybe this month, that month, and that month, and finally he's paid off his property that he's got. Then it's not right, it's not justified for somebody else to hold a grudge against him. That he came over here on my property and stole that well away from me and got that well away from me. Wait a minute, did he pay you for that well? They'll get it back in court. And they'll say, did he not pay you for that well? Well, yeah, he did pay me for that well. Month by month, he finally paid me for that well. But he did pay you for that well. He was trying to do right by you. Yes, he was trying to do right by you. Well, it's not right for you to continue to malign his name and be hypocritical of him. It's not right for you to take advantage of him like this. Let this go in the past. He's paid it off. He's doing right by you. He's justified by what he's doing. Those terms in court became a part of God's term regarding his relationship to the final judgment. Do justly as you live upon this earth. Do the thing that's right. Think about the thing that's right. If something is there, it's not yours, you don't know whose it is, what's wrong with asking, whose is it? How long has it been here? Who's the rightful owner of this? now for you and me to find a ballpoint pen somewhere and not know it on the way and not be able to find it, doesn't matter, a whole heap and everything, that may not be such an important matter. But if it's a deed of trust somehow, if it's a court situation for a car, it'd be a different story. Do what's right by somebody. Always think what's right. There's a story told in the days which I coached ball and went around some guys and coached them one thing and another. I had the story in regard to the young man who one night went down the field, the ball was passed, he caught it, went in the end zone. The referee held up his hand for a touchdown. On the other side, the lineman came running up to him as he pitched the ball back to him for an extra point. And he said to his son, Were you an authorized receiver? Were you on the end of the line and you came out for a pass? And, are you an authorized receiver? And the question was stated after that particular moment. What could that young man say? Well, that young man could say something like this. Well, you're the official, you tell me if I'm an authorized receiver. He could have said to the lineman, you are looking at the end of the line. You're trying to get the number that's there at the end of the line. I was on the end of the line, and therefore I'm the authorized receiver. It's your job to know if I'm there or I'm not. But this young man did what was right. And he said to the official, no, sir, on this play, I'm not an authorized receiver. Now, what does the official do? Does he say, well, son, that's just all right, you intended well, or explain to me how it was you came out, well, I'm on the end of the line for some plays. I'm the tackle eligible on some plays. But I wasn't on this play. The man on the end of the line didn't back off 1 yard to say, I'm on the end of the line, I'm the eligible receiver. What's the official to do? You were sincere about what you were trying to do, you forgot. You came down here, you caught the pass, now apparently scored a touchdown. Well, you're an authorized receiver. He's done the right thing and said, no, sir, I wasn't on the end of the line, I was not authorized receiver on this play. I forgot where I was. This is what happened. What's the right of that official to call a conference of the others and say, I know we called it the touchdown, but he was really not an authorized receiver. This is not a play that should be honored. There should be a penalty exacted if they should play that once again. There's a lot that's involved when we do what's right. There's a lot more involved when we don't do justice. Then he says, walk humbly with thy God. Love mercy. Be hug somebody. Be kind to them. Be helpful to them. Want them to be saved from sin. Do right. Point out the right verses. Don't go to the Old Testament for the day and the time which we live. Let's go to the Christ and his teaching, the gospel of the Lord. And teach that gospel to be obeyed. Let's do justly. But as we do, let's walk humbly with God. Micah says this in the Old Testament. An humble individual is one who is lowly, not pride-filled, not egotistical, but one who is seeking to be a loving, merciful person. Walking humbly. This gets us close to the idea of worship. Once again, the concept of bowing before the Lord, being humble before the Lord, and doing the right things the Lord would have us to do. You say, well, that's Old Testament, that's Micah, and the Old Testament, the Bible. I wonder if there's anything that we do in the specific things of God we talked about, and in this month of August, that's what we're talking about. What's the specific things of God in this New Testament era of time? Well, he said, be watchful and prayerful. And then he says, we'll be able to grow in mercy and doing our God. We find ourselves, a verse in the New Testament talks about that, such as Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Here's a converted life. Here's a changed life. The gospel can talk to this man. That he may have to give to those that have need. Is it just because he's a person who doesn't steal anymore that he has to give? He has a heart of love and concern and mercy for somebody in need and would give to them? Is that the reason why? Or is it because of this middle part? He labors with his hands that which is good. And as a result, what happens? He has to give to those that have need. He shares that. On the part of God's mercy and God's justice, in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, description is given by God of how he looks at such giving. And God doesn't look at the gift to somebody in need as a situation where you just lost it. You're just giving it out. You don't have it anymore. But a need that is going to be multiplied because God was involved in serving people who were in need. What a blessing it is. Let's think about our relationship to the Lord this morning as we find ourselves thinking of God in his right way of specific things. Let's love mercy, do justly, and walk unto God. Let's be people who repent of stealing. Let's steal no more. Let's labor, let's work with God, doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with God. We'll find ourselves an opportunity to help somebody else in times of need. And as we go forth to help those people in need, the Lord said he will see it, he will abundantly recognize it, and this is the work of the Lord that is ongoing with our lives. These specific things of God are things that the Lord intends for us to follow, because at the judgment day, these things were being brought up. When you get over to Revelation chapter 21, you'll see vividly the vast categories of people that are listed there. Those who are filled with worldly ways of life, those who are filled with materialism in life, those who are filled with idolatry in life, those who are unbelievers, they are all in that line, that Revelation 21. Who are these people being judged? Go back into chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, begin at verse 12, and you read, before him will be judged all nations. By what? By the word of God. That word of the Lord. And as a result, what will he do? He'll open the books, and the dead will be judged according to the works that were done. What deeds did we do? Deeds that loved mercy, did justly, walked humbly with God. You know, that verse begins, what doth the Lord require of thee? Song of invitations provided this morning. Let's think of our relationship to the Lord and let's stand together and think of that as we sing this great old hymn to God.
Let us be people who consider our relationship to the Lord and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10 says we will be judged according to the things that God has said, and as a result of our bodily living here upon this earth, we'll find ourselves in a right relationship with God or a wrong one. Look at the examples in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 18, chapter 19, and see how those people obeyed the Lord and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ that you may be indeed saved from sin.